I appreciate the privilege being here in this camp meeting and in this service. And above everything else, I appreciate the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
I got a hold of something a little bit ago that was very inspiring, encouraging to me. Not going to be my message, but I just want to relate this. The brethren were up to the trailer there where I stay, praying for me. And we had a scene of prayer together. And while we were praying, after we got through praying, why, one brother in the midst, he said, "I saw something while we were praying." He said, "I visualized or saw these brethren gathered around praying in unity, harmony." And he says, "While they praying, I saw Jesus come and look on. Look in."
Amen.
That inspired me. It encouraged me. He said, "I just saw Jesus just come up, just looked in." I'll tell you folks, if we can get Jesus to look our way, we're all right. But if he turns his head on us, we're in great trouble. And I want to live, and I want you to live, so Jesus will look in on the matter.
Amen.
And all we do, and all we say. Now the Lord gave me a message for this camp meeting about 3 weeks ago. One afternoon, I wasn't even seeking the Lord for a message. And he began to talk to my heart along a certain line. And as I began to study and meditate, it enlarged and reached out. And I hope that I can be able to get out what God has put on my heart. You pray for me now that I'll be able to say only that which God has had me to say. Now, some messages are real rejoicing messages, and you get a lot of amens. Some of them, you don't rejoice so high, maybe sometimes you say, "Oh, me." Well, anyway, it's the Word of God, and that's what we want to depend upon. Now, I want to say this afternoon that I love everybody, and I love the people of God extremely well. And I appreciate the people of God, and I appreciate our young folks, our young group of people. I appreciate them with all my heart. I want you to know that I do. And I want God to bless you. I want God to bless us, all of us.
Amen.
And I don't want you to get under a crush now over this message, but I want you to get a hold of it, and I feel like it'd be profitable and practical in your life for God. Now, some of us older folks are going to step off the stage of action like many others have did. One generation goes, another cometh. And you are going to be the future church and the future leadership of the church. And I want you to be qualified and follow so close to God that you keep this thing in line and order just like God would have it to be.
Amen.
Now my burden is, this afternoon, is a zeal. Two kinds of zeal that I'm going to talk about this afternoon. One is the zeal of God, and another is a zeal not according to knowledge. Now those kind of zeals exist among us, and of course we know the zeal of God is wonderful, it's great, it's marvelous. But a zeal without knowledge gets people in serious trouble. It's like a ship without a sail. It's like a horse without a bits in his mouth, have no control. if we don't have the knowledge of God attached to all of our doing. Now, mostly my message this afternoon is going to be on a zeal without knowledge. That's the main message the Lord gave to me. But first of all, I want to talk a little about the zeal of God. Now, without a zeal, we won't be able to accomplish scarcely anything at all. And every one of us need a zeal of God. Every one of us need that and must have that to work effectively in order in the work of the Lord. Apostle Paul in the 7th chapter of 2 Corinthians, speaking to the Corinthian brethren here, and Paul had written them a letter and he'd made them somewhat sorry. But their sorrow worked repentance in their life and evidently got the message over to them and blessed them in a marvelous way. Now Paul said, I'll read a few verses here, maybe starting at the 9th verse. "Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly sort, a godly manner, thank the Lord, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing." Now it's not our desire this afternoon to do damage to you or to your experience in any way, even though we might be plain. But our whole hope and ambition, desire, is to help you to know how to work effectively in the work of God, in the cause of God. So Paul said that they might receive damage by us in nothing. He didn't want to damage them, but still he told them the truth, didn't he? "For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of this world worketh death." Now Paul is going on the 11th verse and he's commending these people for the stand that they take. "For behold, this same, the selfsame thing that he sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you." Now, a godly sort and a godly zeal will work a carefulness in your heart, in my heart. He said, "For the same self thing that he had written to them had caused them to sorrow after a godly sort." It caused them to measure up, to realize that Paul wanted to help them, and they accepted it that way. Now Paul is commending them for the way they received the letter and how they took their stand. He said that you sorrow after godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. There need to be a real carefulness wrought within our hearts this afternoon. The work of God is not a plaything. It's not a fly-by-night thing. It's something that must have consideration and worked according to God's will if it works right. So it wrought a real carefulness in him. What clearing of yourself. Oh, thank God for everyone that will clear themselves in every manner, in every way, to where God can take their life and have full control of their life and work out His will through their life. That's the only way God can work really effectively, is to clear ourselves from everything we know that is wrong in our life and make all the wrongs right and clarify ourselves and stand before God clear, then God can work in a marvelous way in our life. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. What fear of God, what reverence they had upon their heart toward God and His cause and His work. Godly fear. We need that. Must have that to work in our midst. Yea, what fear. What godly fear. Yea, what revenge. Yea, what zeal. Now He's commending them for this kind of a zeal. And it is to be commended today in the lives of God's people. A zeal is brought about by a godly sort, by carefulness, by clearing of ourselves, by a vehement desire. That kind of a zeal is to be commended.
Yes.
And God will put His approval upon that and cause that kind of a zeal to be a real blessing in the cause of God and the souls of man.
Amen.
Yea, what zeal. We need more of that kind of zeal, don't we? Godly zeal. Godly sort. Clearing of ourselves. Carefulness how we use that zeal that we have. That is what revenge. In all things you have proved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Now that's marvelous. And Paul went on, and it was so encouraging, or before this, for the response that they gave him through the coming of Titus, and what a blessing it was to his soul because they cleared themselves in the matter. That Paul was writing about, they cleared themselves and made themselves clear. Thank God. Now that is a wonderful position to be in for God to work in our lives and bless us and make us a blessing to others. In Ephesians 5 and 17, I want to read another passage here. We're going to go slow and just let the Lord have His way and work through this, and I hope it'll just settle down into your hearts just like a gentle rain, and that you'll be blessed in your soul. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's an unwise thing to not understand the will of the Lord or not seek the will of the Lord in our lives. That's unwise. That's not good judgment at all, is it? Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Every one of us, young and old, ought to be seeking the will of the Lord in our lives. You young folks this afternoon ought to be seeking to know the will of God concerning your future. God wants to bless you, and God wants to use you, and God wants to make you a blessing in His cause. If you seek out the will of the Lord and follow that carefully and closely, God can bless you abundantly. And that's what we want to get over to you this afternoon. There's already been some of the message preached during this meeting. But it's real necessary, and it's a must in our life, to understand the will of the Lord and then follow that leading. That's safe. That's safe along every line. But anything outside of that is not safe to follow. Now I want to get on the line this afternoon. Well, let's read the 10th chapter of Romans here and start the first verse. Paul, apostle, writing again here now, and writing to the Jews, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Now that's the heart's desire and prayer of every child of God, that they might be saved, that they might make a successful run for the Lord, that they might have a safe landing over on the other shore. That's our purpose in life. That's what we're here for. We're not here to crush. We're not here to cast down. We're here to help you and to instruct you and advise you in the way of the Lord, that you might be saved, that you might come out in a wealthy place in the Lord. And you can if you follow close to leading the Lord. So Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire." I can say from the depths of my heart, my heart's desire is that you might make a successful journey, that you might be useful in the work of the Lord, that God might bless you and use you and make you a blessing to mankind. That's my purpose. That's my desire. That's my aim. That's what I want to see. That's what God wants. That's what the church wants. That's what we need. But Paul said, "I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Now here's another kind of a zeal that doesn't work good, that works havoc in the church, that works against you and against the work of the Lord. As I said, a zeal without knowledge is like a ship without a sail. Put a sailboat out on the water, the wind blowing without any sail on it. No control of it whatsoever. It may go south, north, east, or west. You have no control. You wouldn't want to be out there on a boat like that, would you? And I wouldn't either. It's dangerous, isn't it? But if you've got the proper sail on that, you can control that. Set that sail, and that'll take you right on through. Set that compass, and turn that sail, and it'll take you to your destination. Then I was thinking about a motor without a governor on it. A stationary motor that needs a governor on it. And the governor is what controls that motor if it works successfully. I've watched those motors, big engines, maybe the sawyer and the sawmill puts it in gear, puts the log into there, the old governor just opens up, just goes right on through. But if his governor don't work, he hadn't got proper power. The governor is there to control the motor. Sometimes you don't need so much power. The governor will take care of that. I was talking to some boys one time, and they were out in the wheat harvest. My boy was one of them, sad to say, but anyway, they were driving trucks, and these trucks had governors on them. And these trucks wouldn't run fast enough to suit them. So we said, we found out a way to get up a certain speed and do a certain thing and break the governors on them. Well, they just run them full speed. It was dangerous for themselves and others along the way. No control. The manufacturer knew that they needed a governor on that to work successfully. So the Spirit of the Lord in our lives is like a governor on the motor is like a sail on the ship, and it can direct you and guide you and help you to know how to act and how to live and how to conduct yourself in a manner that will glorify the Lord and be successful in the cause of God and be a real blessing to each other. But a zeal without knowledge gets people in serious trouble. Now, I'm going to bring out some points this afternoon that'll help you and me to realize this. Now, Paul said, I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, actually, what it adds up to is going about to establish our own righteousness if we have a zeal without knowledge. Without God in it and working, is something of our own selves. We can get a grand enthusiasm worked up among us, but if it's not according to knowledge, folks, it won't work. It won't work. Down through the years, we've watched the work of the Lord, been much concerned about it and in it, and noticed and observed quite a few things, and even in our own life. Every young person has more or less zeal. Some have a lot of zeal. And I had a lot of zeal. And sometimes I didn't have zeal according to knowledge. I'll admit I didn't. And it's worked a little havoc. It wasn't just sin. It didn't cut me off. But I can see that I ought to have some knowledge attached to that. That God, I ought to pray more about the matter. Ought to look to God more earnestly. Ought to got the will of God. Ought to know the mind of God in the matter. And it would come out much better. So he said that they had a zeal of God not according to knowledge, and they went about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Folks, if we haven't submitted ourselves to the righteousness of God, we've got a zeal of our own. They don't have any knowledge, don't have any meaning, it don't have any reality to it, and it'll get us in more trouble than we do good. We need to have the mind of God in all of our going out and our coming in, and all we do and all that we say. It's very necessary that we pray to God for heavenly anointing and leading in our lives and in our services. And in our going out and our coming in our going here and going there. The Word of the Lord, folks, means something. I want to turn now to the 4th chapter of Acts. You pray for us and you try to stay awake. I might not be able to keep you awake like that service was this morning. I thank God for the service now. I certainly do. But I have some truths that won't be maybe as much enthusiasm and all as we had, but it's still something we need to know. I believe that the truth that we have here will bless us in the service like we had this morning and lead us right up to that and make us a blessing. Give us a blessing. Now, in Acts, the fourth chapter of Acts, we have an account here, I believe, here's where the apostle had prayed and asked God to show great signs and wonders by stretching out his hand and doing great signs and all that. And 31st verse said, And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake the word of God with boldness. Wonderful, wasn't it? And spake the word of God with boldness. All together. That's what we need. That's what we must have for God to work in harmony. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that all the things which he possessed were his own, but they had all things common. A great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Praise the Lord. I like that, don't you? Neither was there any among them alike, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them, bought the price of the things were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made, and every man according as he had need. Then another brother, he brought his here. And having land, they sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. I got a hold of something here. Now here were the brethren. Great grace is upon them. They were in harmony. And every one of them come and gave what they had and sold it and laid apostles' feet and distributed it out. And everyone has need. But here was a man named Ananias. He said, but a certain man named Ananias. Now I'd like to just maybe think this afternoon that Ananias saw the blessing of God upon these people, and he saw God blessing them, and he wanted that blessing, but he didn't have what these other people had. See, he didn't have what they had at all. And he thought, well, I'll just get in here now and I'll sell my ground. And I'll come in and I'll offer it and tell them this all, but I'll keep back part of it. And God will bless me. But he didn't bless him, did he? He didn't bless him. And all over the story, he fell down dead, and his wife come after, and she lied too, and Peter said, why'd you lie to the Holy Ghost? And they fell down dead. And he said, why, you folks, he said, how come you did this? Why, he said, while you had it, he said, wasn't it in your own power to keep it? Is your own? You didn't have to do this, but you did this and then lied to the Holy Ghost and got in trouble. This afternoon, I hope I can get my point over now to where you can really know what I'm talking about. You pray for me. I have trouble sometimes explaining and bringing out what I have on my heart. The Lord knows what I've got on my heart this afternoon. Now, these brethren all come and sold all their possessions and laid it down the apostles' feet, and they distributed it out. Now, they worked in that day and time, and God blessed them. But God don't demand that everybody sell all of their possessions and give it away and get on the welfare or something. Now, he does demand that we have all of our possessions consecrated to Christ. That sure he does. Now, when Jesus sent the 70 out, or the apostles out, first he told them, he said, don't even take a purse with you. Take anything. But afterward, he changed that. He said, you'd have a purse, take it with you. Take it with you. Now, this afternoon, I can see something here that we could misinterpret this. In the Word of the Lord, we see the Lord blessing the brethren. Now, on some wise, the Lord requires this. Now, on Brother Fred Pruitt's case, he said the Lord told him to sell his farm and all his possessions and put the majority of it in the work of the Lord. I believe that was in order. But, of course, he had to have a place to live, and God provided a place for him to live, too, for his family and all that. But generally speaking, God don't require everybody to sell everything they've got and go in the work of the Lord. He don't call everybody to go out on the field of labor, but it is calling for consecration. Surely it does. But I see something here. Now, as Ananias saw these people selling all they had and laying it down, we thought, he said, I'll try that. But it didn't work in his life. I see something working in our midst today. We see the Lord blessing the ministry and blessing the cause and blessing in the meetings in a special way, and I'm glad he is. So some could be looking at this situation and, well, so-and-so, they went out in the work of the Lord full-time and give up everything, and I'm going to try that. Brother, I'm here to tell you, if God don't lay it on your heart, you better not try it.
Amen.
You better not try it. My going full time in the work of the Lord, the calling for full time service after I was called into ministry for a few years, was as definite as my call to preach was. And I wouldn't win if I didn't. That was as definite and plain, and I knew it as much as I was called to preach. And if you don't know it, you better not just do like these brethren, just say, well, I'm just going to turn loose everything and I'm going to go. You'll suffer for it if you don't. Now, God may call you in this position, and he may not call you in this. There's got to be somebody carried by the stuff. There's got to be somebody carried by the stuff. And he brought out plainly in the Bible that those that carried by the stuff got as great a blessing as those out on the battlefield. It's according to the calling. That's what it is.
Amen.
A few years ago, we had an old brother. God bless him. He's gone now. Hope he made it. But he traveled extensively in the work of the Lord and had him a car and a trailer house. And he'd go wherever he wanted to, I guess. He thought he ought to. But he got it in his mind that he wanted a bunch of people to follow him. And he went over here in Missouri to dear old brother Ed Tomlinson over there. Dear old brother's gone on, a farmer over there. And he said, Brother Tomlinson, why don't you just sell out everything your farm, get you a trailer house, and you and your wife go with me. Follow me. Brother Tomlinson told me this. Why, he said, I wasn't called to go out and work like that. But he had almost just insisted that they sell their farm and their possessions and go with him and follow him. Went on over to Rolla, Missouri, and another brother over there said, why don't you just sell your farm and your possessions and you just follow me? Well, he didn't have no leadings either. Brother Tomlinson was in close connection with the Lord. And God blessed Brother Tomlinson. And he was a cheerful giver to the work of the Lord. And he was a prayer warrior. And he had victory in his soul. I went down on his farm to visit him. Bless his heart. Be working out in the field by himself. And come upon him unexpected. Tears running down his cheeks. God blessing his soul as he used the chopping axe. Chopping on the tree. But he didn't have no call to go out full time in the work of the Lord. Another time we went to a meeting down with a brother in South Carolina, and Brother Gibson, and we lived with close to Brother Thomason, worshiped with him. We said, Brother Thomason, pray for this meeting. He assured us that he would. When we got down there in this meeting, God blessed the meeting in a marvelous way. And God showed me that the effects of this meeting, much of it is coming through the prayers of Brother Thomason back 700 miles back on the old farm out there. When I got back, I said, Brother Thomason, I felt like you'd pray. He said, I was praying for that meeting. Folks, God needs some prayer warriors. He don't call everybody to go extensively in the work of the Lord. No, he don't. But he called everybody to be a prayer warrior, a worker together, a supporter of the cause of God. And your blessing can be as great as the man out on the front lines.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But we can get enthused and worked up and think God wants us just to sell everything we got and go with evangelistic preachers and all those things. Well, he might do it. If he does, all right. But he ain't going to call everybody to go with the preachers. Somebody's got to tarry by the stuff. Somebody's got to work with their hands that they might support the cause of God and give to them who need. The Bible said so. Work with a hand. We might have to give to him that's in need. But this zeal without knowledge will get you in a position of what I'm talking about this afternoon. I hope you can get a hold of it this afternoon like I am by the grace of God. A zeal without knowledge will get you out of order of God. Get you out of the will of the Lord. Will get you someplace where you're not supposed to be. And get you in trouble. And you're not only in trouble, but you're going to get somebody else in trouble too. That's right. One time, Brother Gibson, now this is a little humorous, but I don't mean to be that way, but it's true. There wasn't very many people that had a calling like Brother Dryas Gibson did. Very few that had a calling. His calling was out in sectism. And the fruits of his labor have been instrumental in bringing I don't know how many souls into the truth and all that. It worked effectively. And God blessed him. And very few times that Brother Gibson ever took another minister with him. I lived by Brother Gibson 15 years, about 15 miles apart. And probably a half a dozen times was all I ever went with him in the labor. I had a different calling. But one time he said, a brother said, I want to go with you in the work of the Lord, Brother Gibson. Well, he consented that he go. And he went and said, when we got out in the fields out there of labor, this brother turned into a big fat hog, he said, out there. Right on my hands. And he said, not only that, but he died on my hands. And I had him on my hands and didn't know what I was going to do with him. Now, can't you see what havoc it can work if you're out of the will of the Lord? Had him on his hand, didn't know what to do with him. Maybe to work somewhere else, but he didn't work there. Wasn't his calling. Preachers, you and me, every one of us, better be careful that we don't encourage somebody to follow us and get them out of the mind and will of God. We've got a good bunch of young folks. Praise God for them. And some of them is wanting to know the mind of God. Many of them, the will of the Lord. Thank the Lord for that. But some of them are in a position where they don't know the mind of God. They're seeing the mind of God. And we could over-encourage them, maybe to step out with us and get them out in the mind of the Lord, out of the will of the Lord, when God wasn't hardly ready for them to go. We're going to bring that out in our message before we get through, too. You better say, you pray about this matter. You pray about this matter. One time, a number of years ago, when Brother Dryas Gibson lived at Mansfield, Seymour, Missouri, and I lived northwest Missouri, about 300 miles apart, Brother Dryas had went out and found a little group here and there around, and had three or four little congregations, one in Mansfield, Missouri, out in the country, Myrtle, Missouri, and another one. And he came to me one time, and he said, Brother Allen, he said, these little groups, he said, that I've sought out and helped, he said, it's not my leading to pastor or to just take care of them. And he said, I would like for you to pray and see if God would lead you down in that country to take care of them little groups. He didn't just say, Brother Allen, you pack up and come down here. No, he didn't say that. He said, I want you to come. He said, you pray about it. You seek God earnestly about it. And that's about all he said. I and wife began to seek God earnestly. And after a time, God made it plain that he wanted us to go to that locality and labor for him. But again, I had a great zeal. There wasn't enough knowledge with it. And I thought, well, if we're going to go down there, might as well get packed up and get going. But my dear little wife said, now, honey, I feel like God is not quite through with us here. You better be careful. I've had this old zeal push me as much, maybe as much as has you. Yes, go. Let's pack up and let's go. Now, wait. You better pray a little more about this. Better wait on the Lord a little while. Well, I will. By the help of the Lord, may pace the floor a little bit while I was doing it. But I submitted. I said, all right. And we stayed maybe another few months or 6 months. And after a while, bless God, this is a good part I'm going to tell you now. After we stayed till God got ready for us to go, everything was finished. Everything was up to date. God said, you can go. We packed up and started out. I'll never forget it. 1948, in the spring of 1948, little old 19 and 28 Model A Ford, the little old two-wheel trailer on behind it, going up out of a town, little town, Forest City, Missouri, up a long grade. As we went out of there that morning, brother, the angel of the Lord was over that little old vehicle. I was as clear as heaven in the matter. My work had been finished. My duty had been done. Hadn't left a thing undone. But if I'd have followed that zeal and went a few months before, I'd have maybe had to go back. And it wouldn't have worked so good when I had to go back. But I prayed through, praise God, for my little wife that helped me out there. I'm trying to help you this afternoon, keep you from getting in trouble like I have. But when we got everything clear, praise God, and ready, went out. Oh, it just seemed like the angels just fluttering over the little vehicle as it went down the road. Felt so clear. I've never felt any burden, scarcely, for that place since. That's been over 30 years ago. I went back and preached and loved to that all, but a special burden to live there. Never had that burden again. And God helped me to go down in the hills there and labor, and God blessed my little labors. Another time, the Lord showed me, a number of years ago, he said, You need to go in the state of Arkansas and have a talk with a man and admonish a man. Made it plain that I was to do that. Well, I thought, well, if I've got to do that, I better get on my way. What an easy thing to do. No, said now, God said, now, wait a minute. It's not ready. It's not time for you to go yet. You go all right, but it's not time for you to go. You wait. I'll show you. And I'll tell you when to go. Different story, wasn't it? Can't you see our zeal? Going. An old man come in a station down there where we used to live in a farming country and had a stack tractor tire that needed to be fixed. He said, can you fix my tractor tire? No, I said, we can't right now. And all the old man says, I've got to get you going, he said. Just enthused. I can't wait. I've got to do this. Folks, we can let our zeal run away with us and get in a position just like that and get in trouble with God. And you know, I waited on the Lord. In a few days, the Lord pointed out the very day I should go on this mission. The very day. And I went. And through this relapse of time here, there were some more things involved in this that I know not about that God wanted in this matter. And if I had went ahead, it would have been out of order. It just wouldn't have worked. Zeal without knowledge is quite a thing, folks. I want us to be led of the Lord. Amen. Wait upon the Lord, he said, and he'd renew our strength. And then mount up with wings of eagles and run not be weary and walk in every hand. Wait upon the Lord, he said, and he'd renew our strength. And then mount up with wings of eagles and run not be weary and walk in every hand. Zeal will call you to move on. It'll cause you to move out of order too. All of you wake up and pray for me. Brother Carver, wake up and pray for me. I want us to turn over to 2 Samuel, the 18th chapter and 8th verse. Now, this is a vital part of my message this afternoon, and I hope you'll be able to get this. The 2 Samuel, the 18th chapter. Here's something that has a real meaning to us this afternoon concerning our work in the Lord and our moving on for God. In 2 Samuel 18, and we'll start reading about the 18th verse. Now, Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillow, which is in the king's dale, for he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and he called unto this day Absalom's place. Then said Amaias, I may not be able to pronounce somebody right, but you'll get the thought, the son of Zadok, he said, now let me run and bear king tidings how that the Lord has avenged him of his enemy. Now, after Absalom, the son of David, had died, and somebody needed to go and take the message. So here, brother, he just popped up on the scene. He said, let me run and take the message over there. But didn't even have no message to take. Get into that. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. May the Lord help us now to get a hold of this. I may want to use you in a few days, but you don't need to go today now. He wanted to go. He was ready to run. He was ready to go. But he said, now, you'll not bear tidings today, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Now, he made it plain to him, today you won't bear no tidings today. May the Lord help us to wait upon God till he gives us tidings. Till he gives us the message. Till he gives us the go signal. Till he gives us the wherewith we need to bring the truth to other people. But notice how this brother insisted. And Joab said, then said Joab to Cushai, go and tell the king that thou what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself and Joab and ran. Now here this brother had tidings. He had a message. And he's commanded to take the message. But here's another man just wanting to run. Just wanting to go. Full of ambition. Full of enthusiasm. Just wanting to go. But didn't have anything to go for. Did we get our lesson today? But he wasn't satisfied with that. And he said, I pray also, let me run after Cushai. You already told him not to go today. You'll have a wait till another day. Maybe you'll have tidings. Cushai, you got the truth. You got the message. You go. But the other brother said, I want to go too. I want to run too. Let me go. Folks, that's what zeal will do for you without knowledge. Let me go. Why, he said, and Joab said unto him, wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings ready? It ain't time for you to run. It isn't time for you to go. It isn't time for you to move out. But however, he said unto him, let me run anyway. Let me go. And he said to him, run. By the way, he ran away and overtook Cushai. He's fast on foot. But brother, he didn't have the message. He didn't have the go signal. Just insisted. Did you know something? You can just beg God and entreat God, till after a while, God will let you do things. And sometimes people say, I led of God to do a certain thing, when God didn't lead at all. God let the king, the children of Israel have a king, but he didn't lead them, give them any king. He let them have a king. Oh, he insisted. Oh, he said, you don't have no tidings. You don't have no message to go at this time. Wait till another day. Won't you wait? No, I've got to go today. Got to go today. Folks, I can see something here that's vital to all of us and to you young folks today. Oh, I see somebody going. I see somebody, bless the Lord. Let me run to. Let me go to. Well, God may want you to run. He may want you to stay by the stuff. Oh, didn't look what they're going over yonder. I'm going to get on the next bus. I'm going to get the next train. I'm going to go out. Well, have you got tidings? Have you got a purpose of going? Did God put his approval on? Or do you just want to run like this brother did? Oh, I could just see him. Oh, Brother Cushai, he had the message. And brother, he had the burden on his heart. And oh, this brother finally turned him loose. Here he did, went top speed and overtook old Brother Cushai and probably waved at him as he went and went on his way. But, oh, brother, notice the outcome of this thing. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate and the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there's tidings in his mouth. And he came a space and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And he said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, Methinks the running of the foremost is likened unto Emmaus, the son of Zodok. And the king said, he is a good man, come with good tidings. Now this brother was a good man, but he had more zeal than he had knowledge. There's a lot of good people, and God loves them, and they wouldn't think about going out in sin, but you can get ahead of the Lord. And notice now, and he said, and Elias called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face, and behold, the king said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which has delivered up the men that lifted up their hands against the Lord thy king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And every man said, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. I saw a group of people gathered over there when I left out, but I didn't know what it's all about. Can't you see? And here he wanted to run so much that he said, the Lord sent Cushai and me. Well, he didn't send me. He just said, Cushai, wake up. He didn't send this other brother. He went on his own. He went on his own ambition. He went on his own zeal. Now, brother, here, now I want us to notice something. He said, what about it and all? Well, I don't know, really. I saw a great tumult. I saw a group of people. I knew something had happened. But I didn't know what it was. Well, what are you running for? Because I wanted to run. Because I wanted to get on my way. Brother, here's the humiliating part about it, right here. And the king said to him, just turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. Did you ever get in a predicament like that? Probably have, I have. All that ambition, that running and that sweating and carrying on and moving on, and when he got there, just had to get over here in the corner and stand there. All of it in vain, wasn't it? May the Lord help you, brother. That's what a zeal without knowledge will get you into. You'll get over there somewhere and have to stand in the corner and watch God bless somebody else. It'll work now. It worked there. It'll work right in your life. I'm trying to get over some truths that'll save you some embarrassment. Save you some trouble. Save you some problems along the way. Get a hold of it. Now, if this brother had waited till another day, a few more days, a little while, maybe God had a message. He went on his way and he wouldn't have had to stand in the corner. Run out of order. Run ahead of God. Run because somebody else runs. He runs because somebody else is running. But oh, listen about the other brother. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, tidings, my lord, the king. And the Lord answered, avenge thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemy of the Lord, the king, and all that rise against thee do thee hurt, be as thou this young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to his chamber, and over the gate, and wept. And he went thus and said, my son Absalom, would to God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. My son. But he had the message. What I want to get over this afternoon, folks, if you run, be sure you've got the signal. Be sure you've got the green light. Be sure you've got the tidings. Be sure you're in order.
Yeah, who are you? Oh, may the Lord help us this afternoon. Saints, the Lord of heaven wants to guide our life. Unless He guides your life, folks, you run in vain. He said they run, you run for a while, He said, but who did hinder you? What happened? What happened to those down the line that picked up a Bible or a briefcase and said, I'm calling the Lord, I'm going to do great things, and just a little while they faded out of the picture. Where are they at today? Brother, we want something that'll keep on going. They'll not give up by this and that and the other along the way. If you're running on a zeal, enthusiasm, and all that, you run a while, and you run up against a trial, and you'll back up. You ain't got what it takes to go through. At our best, with the leading of the Lord and the blessing of God upon us, we have to pray to face the thing. We have to push in the thing. Nevertheless, getting out of order. Nevertheless, getting out of line. Nevertheless, running on your own strength out there. Brother, I imagine old Brother Cush, I prayed the next time, don't you? He got tired of standing over there under that tree or in that corner, wherever that was, and all embarrassed. And the old Brother Cushai up there giving the message. And, well, what was I running for anyway? I didn't have no tidings. But I wanted to run because Brother Cushai was running. Oh, can't you see something here? Lord's blessing so-and-so yonder. Brother, I'm going to run over there and see what it's all about. And you can get up and move and all that, folks. But if God ain't in the matter, you better just sit still. You better just wait. Maybe in a few days or a few years, God will give you tidings. Give you tidings. The brethren that come in a position that you're in today, the ministry and the teachers and the leaders of the church, didn't come into this thing in a day's time. It didn't come about by some enthusiasm. It come about by the leading of the Lord. Except the Lord build a house, then labor in vain to build a house. We're fighting in air without God in the matter, folks. Without God in the matter. But when God is in the thing, I've witnessed these things down through the years. We moved into a place one time and we prayed till we got the mind of God before we went. The well went dry and, oh, I don't know what all happened and all that. Give up a pretty good house and moved in an old shack, so to speak. And the whole cold rain began coming down and all that and all that. I told wife, I said, if it burned down, I still feel like I'm in order of God. But brother, if I hadn't had something to stand on, and I was led by God to go that place, I'd probably packed up and went back. Or went somewhere else.
That's true.
And I want to point you to something too. When I was here at Carterville, Missouri, spent 5.5 years there, knew God led me to that place to labor there in the that vicinity. Wasn't the pastor, but a helper there. And after about five and a half years, some along in there, God let me to know my labors was finished. And He'd be moving me on. But I didn't know where I was going. But it didn't go till I got some leadings. We're waiting on the Lord. Knew the Lord was through with us. I could have went perhaps 6 months or a year before that and been clear if I knew where I was to go. But I didn't know where I could go. One brother told me one time, he said, I'm through laboring here. I don't know where to go. And he said, I have a notion to just take my family and move out like Abraham, not knowing where I'm going to go. I said, brother, that won't work. That won't work. In our day and time. Didn't know. You're going out and don't know where you're going. Don't know what you're doing. God don't lead like that, folks. That's not knowledge. That's not working in order with the Spirit. And I want to show you, folks, a few little pointers how God can work when you wait upon it. So we were waiting on the Lord to direct us. And I was at Brother Harmon's place. I don't know if I told Brother Harmon this or not. In a meeting up there in Overland Park, Kansas. And we knew God sometime move us, didn't know where we was going to go. And God spoke to me and said, "You go to Zenith, Missouri to labor for me." Well, brother, I didn't like Zenith, Missouri. I liked the saints down there. But I didn't like the country. It was hot and lots of mosquitoes and the low country. And I used the hills of Missouri and the old spring water and all that. It wasn't down there. But I, you know what I did first before God called me to go there? I said, "Lord, I'll go anywhere, or I'll stay, or I'll go." I come to that place, so I wouldn't have turned over my hand. I'd have stayed or I'd have went. But God said, "You go to Zenith, Missouri." Been a lot easier on the flesh if He'd said, "You move over here in one of these mountains over here in Missouri, where I was raised and life." But He said, "Go off in the bottom of Missouri, way over there by the Mississippi River, or over there." Well, Lord, I've been waiting on You, and Lord, I'll go. But now, Lord, there's something else involved here. I've got 3 children and a wife, and a teenage daughter, one out of high school, another up in high school, another boy. What am I going to do about this? When I went home, I told my wife, I said, "Honey, God's told me to go to Zenith, Missouri. What do you think about it?" She said, "It's all right with me." I said, "Now we're going to have to work something out about these children." I went to one of the children without telling them my leadings at all. I said, "Terry, come in from school." I said, "If you wanted to move, going to move," he knew he was praying about moving. I said, "If going to move, where would you want to move?" He said, "I'd move to Zenith, Missouri." He didn't know what I had in mind at all. Well, fine, so forth. Jenny come in. She's older than that. She's up in high school. "Jenny, if you're going to move, where would you want to move?" "To Zenith, Missouri." Janice on her job over there in Joplin. Went over to pick her up. Didn't tell her anything. "Janice, if you want to move, where'd you move?" "Zenith, Missouri." Can't you see how God will work in a thing and work all the way around, praise God. Brother, I tell you, the next thing is start packing. Little old Brother Louis and Sister Vaughn and them a letter. I said, "Would you accept us when we come over there?" He didn't even wait to write back. He just called back. Went over and looked out the location and all that. Well, so much for that. But I'll tell you, folks, when we wait upon God, and brother, when I got over there in that country and them old cold rain began to blow and the mosquitoes began to bite and troubles and all that, if I hadn't had the mind of God, I'd have went back. But I knew I was in God's order and I could face the thing. God blessed us over there to be there. Stayed there about 4.5 years, and we had more roots than we thought we would. We loved the saints, and it is a lot better than we thought it was. Praise the Lord. Folks, I'm trying to point out something to us. Wait on God. Right in here in this waiting period, if we're not careful, we'll let our zeal run away with us and get ahead of God and get out of order. Oh, may God bless us with this little lesson this afternoon, that we get a hold of it, folks, and not run out there just because somebody else is running.
Amen.
Not sell out your procession and go just because somebody else is going. Why, Brother William, Brother Salmon, Brother Allen, they're full time in the work of the Lord. Well, why can't I be full time in the work of the Lord? Well, maybe you can. I hope God will call you. But brother, don't you undertake in any way to go full time in the work of the Lord until God gives you a go signal.
Amen.
Some of the brethren have come to me for a little counsel, Brother Sammons and some of the others maybe. Brother Sammons, when the Lord had saved him and blessed him and called him to preach, and he was thinking about going out in full time in the work of the Lord, I said, Brother Sammons, you wait till God gives you a green light. You wait on the Lord. Don't you move out in any way, folks, till God gives you a green light. You're not obligated. Well, so-and-so is running. So-and-so is going. But God blessing so-and-so. I want the same blessing. Well, brother, you can have the same blessing plowing corn or working a factory. Where are you at? If you're in God's order. Sing and pray as you go. You don't have to be on the road traveling to get a blessing from the Lord. You just need to be in God's order. Now, I don't know who God's going to call anywhere. I hope He calls a lot of people in His work. We need them everywhere. But when God calls you, I want you to have tidings. I want God to be in the thing, and God of the thing, and through the thing, then it be successful. If it's not, folks, if you run on your own, you'll pull back in. It won't work. It'll work for a while, and your enthusiasm will run out, and your zeal will run down, and you'll pull back in. And that is very discouraging. Bless your heart, one time I lived there at Mansfield, Missouri, and we was having a tent meeting, and Brother Abbott was there in the meeting, and two young brothers come. One of them was called to preach, he said. He labored some in the meeting in there, and he said, now, he said, I want to go over here in Arkansas and have a meeting. A place where there's a few people over there who are interesting in the things of the Lord. And he wanted me to go with him. I didn't feel no leadings to go, and he wanted Brother Abbott to go, and he didn't have no leadings to go. He said, I'm going to go anyway. Just a very young brother in the Lord. And he went anyway, but his outcome wasn't good. He got down there in an old schoolhouse having a meeting over there, and he said sectism moved in this way and that way, and I didn't know what to do about the matter, and they just overruled me. And he said, I got in such trouble, and he said, the place where I was staying, he said, they tried to steal my money, and I don't know what all. And he said, he was so burdened down, and God said, the best thing you can do is pack your clothes and go home. He was out of order. He was out of order, and he was so discouraging to him. I don't know if that brother ever rose above that thing. He never did do good in the work of the Lord. Finally backslid. I tell you, I don't know. That very thing may have been his downfall. His zeal. I want to go. I want to run. Well, if he'd have waited on the Lord, maybe the Lord might have let him go later on. Maybe he wouldn't. But can't you see what trouble old Brother Cusha, or this other brother, he got over there. And when he got over there, he didn't have no tidings. He didn't have no message. He didn't even know why he was there. And all he could do, he just stand over there with his hand folded and wait. Stand still a while. That's why he said, you just get over here now and you stand still a while. It'll be good for every one of us to stand still a while. Stand still till the Lord moves on the scene. Wait till the Lord gives you a signal. Wait till the Lord tells you something. Then move with all authority. And the grace of God in your soul, and God blessing you as you go.
Amen.
Brother, I tell you, it's enough burden, much less having the approval of God on you. Oh, I tell you, folks, you don't even have any idea what you're going to face if you give yourself wholly over to the Lord and full time in the work. Now God will give you grace for that. Nobody ever knew that when they dedicated themselves. If you did, we probably backed up. But God has given grace for every problem and every trial. Give grace to sleep on the benches. Give grace to be maybe not have enough money to go, Harley, and all that. Hitchhike, that's right. Went away from home and let the little children crying after you and all that. That's all included in the gospel work too. Sister Ruth said one time she started out in the gospel work and another sister, a young sister with her, she said they went to a place and you don't always have the best bed. It'd be a lot different than our home. So they got in a place, they made them give them the best they had, and they lay it on an old mattress, had knots in it and humps in it. And so way in the night they decided, we'll turn it over, get another old mattress underneath and lay it, see if it'll lay any better. Here this young sister, she didn't know what it's all about. She's heaving around on that. She said, "Sister Ruth, is this gospel work?" "Yes, this is gospel work." That's some of gospel work, see. Amen. But you know, if God's got His hand on you, you can just face them things and just go right on, and God can just bless you abundantly. But if you feel like you're out of order, and you feel like God is not in your going, brother, you're going to have a hard time facing those things. I've been endeavoring by the help of the Lord to work the Lord. I'm not bragging at all. Give full time since 1941 in the work of the Lord. And God has never forsaken me. God is stood with me. Praise the Lord. Supply my needs. Bless me with a home for my family. Sometimes it wasn't beefsteak and all that, much as we liked to have, but He stood with us. Thank God for my little wife that stood with me. Thank God for that today. Stood with me. Thank the Lord for my children who took the way. Feel unworthy, all of them but one, taking the way. But God gets the praise. But brother, I'll tell you, you're getting some close places out there. And if you don't have the mind of God, you'll back up. You'll back up. Oh, I could just sit here over and over and over how God has come on the scene. One time we lived there at Mansfield, Missouri, knew it in order of the Lord, and we used to go out in the country that day to end the service out there where Brother Thomason lived, little chapel on the hill. And I felt like I needed 4 gallons of gas to go on my journey that day. And I knew what it would cost. And I searched everywhere, and I had all the money to buy my gas but one penny. And I felt really impressed. Look in a pair of trousers you pulled off, and there was my penny. Praise the Lord, bought my gas, went on in service, and made it back home. Oh, the Lord is rich, folks. Good to us. Another time, we had an appointment. We leave here at Carterville, Missouri, and had an appointment way over by Jefferson City, Missouri, about 225 miles once a month, going over trying to help over there. God blessed us over there and supplied our needs and applied us some extra to meet our utility bills and different things like that. And finally the Lord said to us after about 2 years, He said, "Your work's finished here." The devil said, "Now, what are you going to do about your utility bills and things like that? You was getting a pretty good little sum there that met these. What are you going to do?" "Well, I'm just going to trust the Lord. Just going to trust the Lord." And the devil, he painted a big old picture. We come on back home, said we won't be back no more. And before another utility bill come around, two sisters called us up on the phone and said, "God has burdened us to pay all your utility bills." Said, "When they come in, just
Just let us know and we'll write you a check. They did that for 3 or 4 months. Praise God. God can move on the scene.
Amen.
Another time, we was having a tent meeting in a strange play or a revival meeting and in a trailer and a family and closed the meeting, started home and stopped a place to stay all night. I told wife, me and her talking, I said, honey, I said, we won't have enough money when we get home to meet our bills. We like about $25. We look in the Lord. So we stopped this place. I just went on to bed and went to sleep. Even the hand of the Lord. About 10 o'clock, wife said, honey, get up. Somebody wants to see you. Got up and a sinner man lived over the way, living in adultery. Might have been the meeting one night. Come up there and he brought me a $25 check. Exactly what I needed. I'll tell you folks, when you move in the order of God, God will see you through. God will see you through. Oh, but we do need the Lord to direct our lives. That's what I'm trying to point out to us this afternoon. Don't just go because somebody else is going. Don't just move because somebody else is moving. It looks easy. Oh, you can see the preacher running through the country eating fried chicken, driving good cars and all these things. Why, you don't know the first thing about it.
That's right.
Do well to get cornbread sometime. But it'd be good, praise the Lord. That's all He promised us anyway. But He's never forsaken. Oh, praise the Lord. God will stand by our side. I'm not sorry that I gave myself over to the Lord. But I want to point out to you this afternoon again, my calling in the full-time work was as definite and vivid as when I was called in the ministry. When I started in the full-time work of the Lord, started out on quite a journey. Started with an old Model A Ford and a homemade trailer house in the fall of the year, and one side of it didn't even have no wind in it. Had wife and 2 children. And the old battery on the old thing wouldn't start it, and it had to be pulled in the morning to start it when I camped along the way. First made a trip into Arkansas, then into Lewin, Mississippi, clear into Hammond, Louisiana, back to Gina, and back in Missouri again. And God saw us through the whole thing. Praise the Lord. Just testing our dedication. Oh, may the Lord. Now the Lord's taking care of our needs. You don't need to feel sorry for us and all that. God's blessing us and I'm not sorry. But I would not have moved if God hadn't moved. That's what I'm trying to point out to you. That I don't want to move, and I don't want you to move unless God prompts you to move. You wait on the Lord. If you're thinking about something and it's vivid in your mind, you pray till God makes that thing plain. Now, God don't want nobody to leap out in the dark and don't know what you're going or what you're doing. He don't want nobody to run like this old brother did and have to run off way up there somewhere and stand still or hitchhike back home or something. But you get your leading, the Lord. Now, let's kind of visualize a little bit here. We say these brother now, Brother Cushai and this other brother, they walk back home together after they'd made their journey, both of them. Going along. Can you imagine the different feeling they had inside? Brother Cushai, maybe he had his head up, maybe he was singing the song as he went along the way. And probably the other brother, I imagine he was. Well, all come about because one man went in order and another man got out of order. They had to go back somewhere and they went together. I don't know where they went. I just kind of think about it. Just going along and on. Oh, brother, let's sing a song. Oh, I just have to hang my up on the willow tree.
I'll have to go home and ask God to forgive me. Getting out of order. So brother just sang at the top of his voice because he'd done the will of the Lord. Well, now that's the way God wants it to be, folks. All of us have this thing to fight. I do too, and you do, and every one of us do. I saw a sign one time years ago, and it said, "Be sure you're right, and then go ahead." If you're sure you're right, and sure you're in order of the Lord, don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop you. But if you're not sure that you're in order, not sure that God is leading you in a matter, you better pray some more about it. You better wait a while. It may be some other day God will have tidings for you. But maybe it's not today. Well, may the Lord bless you now. I don't know what you got out of this, but it's been something to my soul today. And I believe with all my heart that God gave me this message about 3 weeks ago. And down since then, I've been studying along this line. I didn't ask Him for it. Didn't know if I'd preach at camp meeting. Wasn't even seeking the Lord for a message. But the Lord gave me this message from Monarch Frank. I may preach it somewhere else. But I believe He gave it to me from Monarch Frank. I trust it'll be a blessing. Now, again, I want to say, I love all of you young folks with all my heart. And I wouldn't throw a straw in your way for nothing. But I want your work and your labors of love to be effectual. Amen. I want God's approval to rest upon that. Amen. That's the only way it can be successful. Is you wait on the Lord and follow the Lord. And you can go with your head up. And God bless you. Oh, I'll tell you, folks, when you're in order of God, you feel good. I'll tell you, I've had some times, and old Brother Curtis and all could witness this too, going down that road in that old car by myself, and oh, God just blessing my soul and just about shouting right in that car. Why? Because I felt like I was in order of God. There's been a few more times that I've went when I wasn't so sure about it, and I couldn't sing so loud. And it didn't work so good on the other end. I went through these things. I know just what kind of a zeal that young folks have. And it'll lead you. It'll rule you. And if you're not careful, it'll lead you too far. Now remember my message this afternoon. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, and went about establishing their own righteousness, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. May the Lord bless each one.